Welcome back to your morning tradition here on MagnificatMedia.com, Magnificat Radio. Mike and Lisa Austin. And we were talking about the Holy Name Society and earlier on in the show. And so joining us right now is an actual member, an actual factual member of the Holy Name Society.
It's my dad.
Lisa's dad joins us again from Michigan. And Ted, welcome again to the show.
Well, hi, how are you?
Good. You're like a VIP on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
First of all, the Holy Name Society, give us a little background on that.
Okay, the background on the Holy Name Society goes back all the way to the Council of Lyons in the 11th century.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know it was that old.
Actually, it's not the 11th, it's the 12th, 13th. Okay. The 1274 AD.
13th century.
So it goes all the way back to there. They were talking about it then and started to organize the society then.
And what was the purpose of the Holy Name Society? Because societies come up for a reason.
The Holy Name Society came up for the Holy Name of Jesus, to mm-hmm. honor the name of Jesus, and to do all you can as a Holy Name member to honor that and to do what you can to change the world's look at using God's name in vain.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So
and there's several ways that you can do that. Either in correcting somebody, if it's a friend of yours, or in a conversation with a group of people, they start using God's name in vain, all you have to do is bow your head. And after a while, they're going to ask you, why are you doing that? And then you can explain to them why. Because they're dishonoring God's name by using it the way they do.
So you don't, as a Holy Name member, you take a vow, I suppose, right? You take an oath.
Not an oath, not a vow. It's a promise, but I guess if you look up promise, it says a vow.
Okay.
But you make a promise to honor the society and Holy Name.
Okay. Are there certain prayers you have to say every day,
No, you don't have to say them every day. One of the things that we pass out is a card that says, Blessed be the Holy Name of Jesus, and on the back of that card is a prayer for the priests.
Oh,
I like that.
And we pass that card out so the men would say that prayer at least twice a day. The Holy Name Pledge is given every Holy Name Sunday, mm-hmm. which is the second Sunday of the month. It's a short pledge. I don't know if you want to hear that or not, but it's
sure.
Quite long.
No, go ahead if you want. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, the Holy Name Pledge is, Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. I profess publicly my belief that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, made man for the salvation of mankind. I recognize his divine authority, and I believe that all power on earth, civil and religious, comes from him. All lawfully constituted authority I respect and promise to obey. May the God of justice guide the minds and uphold the hands of those vested in with his power. May the God of might break asunder the bonds of those met together against the Lord and against his Christ. In honor of his divine name, I pledge myself against perjury, blasphemy, profanity, and obscene speech. Praise be the name of God, and blessed be the name of his divine Son, now and forever.
That's really nice. And that's not all that long. And you say that every day, Ted?
No, we say that every Sunday, the Holy Name Sunday. All the men will stand up at the end of Mass and recite the Holy Pledge while everybody else is still kneeling before Father leaves the altar.
And that's every Sunday or every Tuesday?
Every Holy Name Sunday.
Holy Name Sunday. It's the second Sunday of every month.
Now, is that for all chapels or just your chapel?
No, for all chapels.
Okay.
Any chapel that has a Holy Name Society, it's the second Sunday of the month.
I think that's neat. And how does somebody go about starting it then, if they don't have one in their chapel?
Well, you go back to somebody has to organize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the difficult part is, because a lot of people seem to have a lot of things to do, and the work will be passed on to somebody else if they want to do it. With myself, I was asked to join the Holy Name Society at Armada, St. Joseph's, quite a few years ago. And once the chapel in Bay City opened up, the Infant of Prague, I started the Holy Name there with several men. And we had close to 20 members at that time in a very small parish.
That's neat.
That's neat.
And then we moved to Grand Rapids, and at the Allendale St. Margaret Mary's, they asked me to try to organize it. They had a Holy Name Society, but it wasn't well organized. They asked me if I could help and do that. Mm-hmm. And Father Sick at the time asked me if I would do it, and I said I would. So we organized it there, and we have 20 members now. And it wasn't difficult. You just have to talk to the people in the parish, the men in the parish, and ask them to join. And sometimes that's the difficult part, because people think they have to do something else.
Right. They think they're going to be out at an intersection with a boot trying to fill money or do a bake sale or whatever. When in fact, it sounds, Ted, like all really that you need to do is defend the holy name of Jesus.
That's what it's all about.
And set a good example.
Yeah. But it goes back a long ways. When I was a child going to school at St. James, they had the Holy Name Society there. And the whole center aisle of the church was full of men at the 10 o'clock Mass on the second Sunday of the month. And their sons would be with them. Their young sons would be sitting with them.
See, it was passed down.
Yes. And they went through that, and they had a little luncheon after that.
How many... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, how many chapters then of the Holy Name Society do you think, or maybe you don't know, back in those days, how many chapters were there of the Holy Name Society?
Every parish in the base area had a Holy Name Society. So there were a lot of men. Bay City was a Catholic town, and there was a lot of chapters of the society. Okay. Every parish had one.
So compare that with today. How many are there today, or how many do you think there are today overall?
I have no idea. I would say a lot of the society's parishes do have a Holy Name Society, but there are quite a few that don't.
Yeah.
So.
So it's been lost, and we're trying to bring it back.
Right, right. I what do you think is, well, maybe you said this before, what do you think is the hesitation in, because it seems to me, it's not just a society of St. Pius X organization. This is a Catholic organization, ancient Catholic organization.
Right.
Yes.
And it seems to me, to use slang, a no-brainer to organize... even a small chapter of the Holy Name Society. So what do you think is the mindset or the thinking, I guess maybe it is, that it's going to be a lot of work?
I'm not positive what the problem is. I would say that's part of it. Some of it, I can't go into, you know, guessing as to what somebody else does, why they don't want to join.
All right.
Yeah. All we have to do is use persistence and ask them every year to join. The month of January, which is a month of the Holy Name of Jesus, is the month in which indoctrination takes place into society. So every year, as the time comes close, we try to organize another induction from the men that do not belong.
Mm-hmm.
And you always get a few members to come in, but there's always a few that don't want to.
Right.
But that's why, I don't know. I'm afraid, I guess, is one of them. But some of the things that we do is, like, we do have a pancake breakfast once or twice a year organized by the Holy Name. And we take care of everything. We serve it. We cook it. We have pancakes, eggs, sausage. We get it all from Gordon Food Service.
Hmm.
and it's prepared on Sunday morning, and it's ready when after Mass is over, everybody comes downstairs, and it's a fundraiser for the Holy Name. We use the funds to help the Holy Name provide other things in the parish. Like we just came back this here a week ago from a baseball game, the Whitecaps baseball game. And we had 40 people that joined us. And it was really a nice outing because you don't see the whole game because you're visiting with the people that you normally don't see a lot.
Right.
And we took the Holy Name, not the Holy Name, but we took the altar boys, and the Holy Name paid for them going.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So there's things that like that's going on. And this fall, we're going to try to get together this winter and try to have a hockey game where we can take have the people go to the hockey game.
It is Michigan, after all.
Yes.
I'm just sitting here thinking and envisioning an entire section in the bleachers of Holy Name members. Now, do you have matching shirts or anything like that, or a ball cap or anything that says?
We have sashes that we wear on Sunday. It has the Holy Name emblem on it. Also, all the Holy Name men, when they do join, they get the Holy Name pin. There's a booklet they'll get. They get the cards with the prayers on it that they need to say. There's also a Novena to the Holy Ghost card that we get. Now, all of this comes in a packet from the Angelus Press.
Oh, great.
And whoever wants to organize and start a Holy Name Men, I would suggest they ask their parish priest first, you know, and what he would like us to do towards that. And then you can get all this stuff you need from calling the Angelus Press. Tell them what you want. You want to set up a Holy Name Society. They'll provide you with the pins and also the booklets.
That's nice.
The price is very minimal because the only thing I think we have to pay for is the pins. Right now there's $3.50 per pin, and the booklets and the prayers that you get are free.
We should put a link up to on Magnificat Media right here on the website to the Holy Name stuff at the Angelus Press.
Maybe. Absolutely.
Is there a does the Holy Name itself have its own website? Do you know of, Ted, or?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. Maybe we could sort of be that catalyst, that hub.
What I find interesting is it's all centered around the men. It's just...
We are the crusaders. We are the, you know, we're the gatekeepers. The leaders, exactly. Yeah, we're supposed to be the example. Speaking of that, I want to get back to the ball game. What I was sort of alluding to was, do you guys, when you go out in group like that to an event publicly, boys, men, do you all have the same shirt or hat or emblem visible? Because I'm seeing in the stands this whole group. What a great example that would be. It says Holy Name Society, you know, right across the front. And right there, in a venue where probably the name of Jesus is being taken a few times, here is this entire section of men and boys standing up for the Holy Name of Jesus. I don't know if that exists, or maybe that could.
No, but it would be nice.
No, it would be very nice. We did have something similar to that, what you're talking about, when I was at our Maid of St. Joseph's. We had a sweatshirt similar to something that you're wearing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was white. It had an emblem, the Holy Name emblem. This one right here. On the
Okay.
Oh, neat.
He's holding up a shield, by the way.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like a crusader shield.
Mm-hmm.
That is neat.
And that's, we had it on where the pocket is, just above the pocket was a large emblem. But we haven't had it in the other parishes that I've been at.
Because that's probably up to each individual chapter, what kind of money they can raise to get that, I suppose.
Right, because you have to find somebody that can do that work.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it just about organized in Bay City when we moved.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully they've carried that on.
Yeah.
We're going to cut you loose because we're running short on time. Ted, thank you so much for talking about the Holy Name, and hopefully we can get one going here and elsewhere. Holy Name Society. Check it out. Look into it. The Angelus Press, ladies or gentlemen. I almost said ladies. And I guess the ladies can check too for the men.
They can, yeah.
And there's a section at the Angelus Press website, I'm sure, where you can find it. And we're going to put a link up to some information.
Sure.
On our website. Ted, thanks so much, and God bless.
You're welcome. Thank you. God bless.
It's Ted Huebner on Your Morning Tradition and the Holy Name Society. We're going to take a break and get back with our final segment of the show this morning and talk with Michael Murphy, our Latin word of the day. Michael Murphy talking about, I believe he's doing animus. We will see on the way next. Back again with Mike and Lisa Austin here on Your Morning Tradition here at Magnificat Radio on MagnificatMedia.com. And our usual segment on Latin, welcoming back Michael Murphy, who has called himself Father Wood's flunky. I'm just going to throw that out there, man.
That's true.
But that is, I don't know, we're blessed to have both of you guys. Different styles, but it's learning nonetheless. It's just interesting to dig into these root words and to find the meanings, and then to get a better appreciation, really, for what it is we're saying most
exactly.
of the time. So today, let's delve into this word. You wanted to get into
soul.
Animus, soul, the word soul, mm-hmm. S-O-U-L, our soul, animus. Dive in, man.
Well, animus is, it's a Latin word for soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the word from which we get words like animate.
Animal.
Yes, that's exactly right. Really, what it comes down to is an ancient understanding of it's a principle of life. The principle of life that something has is its soul or its animus. So yes, animal, you have... that it has a... It has a connection to also to the word spirit, animus.
Okay, not even closely sounding alike.
Mm.
How
soul
do we
and
get
spirit?
From...
Well, it depends on how you the ancients, whether it's Greek or Latin, Greek or Roman ancients, they saw the soul differently. Some of the ideas that it's more of a spirit, that it's a non-material thing.
Right,
and that understanding is translated to today. I mean, we kind of think of the soul as something that's not material. It's something that's it's
intangible.
It's intangible, and so you say somebody has spirit, somebody has soul.
Yeah,
you know, there's some principle inside them that moves them, that drives them. It's really more removed from the original sense of dead versus alive.
Right, it gets to be a little
abstract,
it seems.
Right. Well, when you say, if I have a beef against you, or if I'm
angry
at you...
You're not talking cows.
No.
No.
No, well, okay, we'll leave cows. We'll leave carnies out of this. Now, we might say that I have an animus against you.
Okay.
I have... There's a spirit... Sometimes it's referred to as anger.
Oh.
Animus.
And of course, animation, when we talk of animation, we're talking of giving life to a drawing.
Right. Right.
And it's that life, animus.
Right.
And soul. So is soul taken more from that you're saying is more the Greek?
Well, it's a Latin word, but we, as we have the Greek culture that predates the Roman, the Greek word, for soul is psyche, or actually psuche.
Oh.
And it's from this word that we get psychology.
Of course.
And if we're going to riff on Greek for a moment, let's break that down. So you have psyche and logos. This is the word psychology comes from soul. Logos is the study of.
Right.
So the study of the soul, if you were to mash those together from, you know, the Greeks wouldn't talk about psychologists, probably.
No.
but if they did, they'd be talking about people who studied souls.
So, logos, and now we're going to get off way off on that.
Yes.
But
But logos, the study of, if I have a logo, for instance, we have a Magnificat Media logo. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's related or not.
Oh, no, it is related. It's
how?
It's it's an ancient way of saying your brand.
Okay.
Because it's an account that I'm giving of it. If we know, and that's an important thing, because now we're really going to get far off, because I'll cite Father Copleston's study of medieval philosophy. He talks about how the early church are composed of philosophers, and what were they looking for? They're talking about the logos.
Right.
They want to know the account of the thing, because if I can account for it, I know its nature in a way.
Right.
I know what it is. So what are they looking for? They're looking for the logos. They're looking for how God is going to reveal himself.
Theology.
They're looking for his logos. Yes, that would be the study of God, yeah. Right? But what do we have in John's gospel? And I only know this because I took a little bit of Greek, so don't let it impress you.
Yeah.
But we have, the only Greek I know is the beginning of the Gospel of John, where he says, in arche ein ho logos, kai ho logos ein ho theos.
Right now, someone somewhere is going, it.
What it means is, in the beginning was the Word. Mm-hmm. In arche ein ho logos, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why you have the early church, most of them are philosophers, because they were pagans waiting for God to reveal himself.
Right.
And they did, because he did. Because God gave his Son, the Word,
yes,
the second person of the Trinity.
And those who understood that were...
Well-trained, well
the scholars of the
scholars of the day,
the
doctors of
the
church, many doctors in the beginning. So we to bring us back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we have psychology, the study of logos. It's the account of anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something's logo,
that's an account of it. You
yeah.
see what it is
yes.
in a word, in a symbol.
Every time mm-hmm. I see those golden arches, I get hungry.
Oh,
right?
Now
yeah.
we're going to have to send McDonald's a bill.
Yeah, that's it.
See? Advertising. So. Okay, so let's go back to soul and get away from logos. The word psych.
Yes.
Okay, is soul, right?
Mm-hmm. In Greek, yes.
In Greek. And it's... how does that relate to anima?
The Romans, the ancient Romans, were following very closely on Greek culture, Greek language. We sometimes use these words interchangeably because there's such a melding of the two cultures.
Right. So anima, soul. Let's pull it all together. Anima and soul. Soul being, if I remember right, did you say that's more of the Greek?
Well, we have the word psuche or...
Psuche, right,
or,
there
or
it was.
Psyche. Mm-hmm.
Psychotic. Okay,
well, yes,
I will stop there.
It does mind with the... It works with the word, I mean, because it's dealing with the mind.
Yes.
The mind, the soul, maybe the... you can argue about whether the Greeks saw differentiations there, but reference to soul.
Well, and if you dig in, this is what I just find interesting in any of the Latin words, but if you dig in, as we're doing, and you start taking apart and you start to realize the connectedness between our soul and our being, our body and our soul, two different things, but the connection between those. And I don't know, maybe this is just a vague little reference here, but the giving life to... anima. I keep coming back to animation. I just think of animation, but giving life to something, and then as we transitioned into the word soul, and our life is in our life in our soul. You see what I mean?
That's the defining principle of man or of a living thing. It's soul.
Right.
What's the principle of its motion? Actually, that's Aristotle, he writes in his great work On the Soul. That's where we kind of get the sense of the soul being a principle of motion, a principle of life.
You know what? I watch you, Michael, as you do these words and take them apart right before our eyes, you know, and as we sort of dissect all of this stuff, and you mentioned Aristotle, I picture you, wouldn't it be funny? Here's Michael walking like along in a park with Aristotle, and they're chatting. You know what would happen? I would be riding up on a bike going like, hey guys, how's it going? Oh, you're over my head. I gotta go, see ya, bye. And that would be that, and you guys would go on and have lunch and a great day, and it'd be sunny, shining and stuff. Meanwhile, I'd end up in a thunderstorm somewhere, home all wet and sad. Wow.
Poor
there.
Soul.
Yeah, I am a poor soul. And there it is.
Poor soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrapping it up on our Latin word of the day. Michael, appreciate the time and the expertise. This was fun.
And it got a little scary there at the end.
It did a little bit.
That was Michael Murphy on location. We met him on location with our microphones the other day. That's going to do it for your morning tradition this morning. Mike and Lisa Austin, my thanks to Ted Huebner for being on again with us today via Skype. I love the Skype thing now.
Oh, so do I.
And thanks to you for tuning in. We will hopefully, God willing, get all together again tomorrow here for your morning tradition. It's Mike and Lisa Austin on Magnificat Radio, MagnificatMedia.com, living our faith. And we'll see you later.